Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. This is God's word. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, because it reveals who you are. It also reveals who we are. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be illuminated to those very things. Lord, you have words to speak for us today. Lord, give us humble, teachable hearts to receive your word. Lord, your word is to have authority over us, over our thoughts, over our desires, and we pray that you would speak powerfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been going through Genesis, and over the last 2-3 weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be human. It's a great question. What does it mean to be human? Why is it such an important subject? Well, if you want to live a full and vibrant life, you need to know what it means to be a human being. And if you don't know what it means to be human, then life is going to be very frustrating on so many levels. Well, just to recap a little bit, we talked about how man was made in the image of God, after his likeness, that is, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And we see that as man is made in the image of God, that means man and women are sons and daughters of God. There's glory in all of us because we are made in God's likeness. We reflect his glory, and that's wonderful to think about. At the very essence of our being, we are people who are made in the image of God. But not only in our being are we made in the image of God, but in our tasks. In a sense, we image God. And it was last Sunday we talked about how we image God in procreating, multiplying. We also image God in ruling and having dominion. And today, we continue on this idea of imaging God. And here we learn to image God by working and resting. In the creation account, and in particular what we just read, God sets forth for us a pattern of work and rest that we are to follow. Now, it's important for us to understand our passage's place in the Bible. What we just read, this is before the fall of man. This is before sin entered the world. So God had set a pattern for man to work even before the fall. And if you have your Bibles and you continue on in chapter 2 to verse 15, this is what it reads. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. My point here is that man was created to work. Just like he was created to multiply and created to rule, he was also created to work. We were built for work. We need work like we need air and food. We need work to function fully as human beings. We lose actually some of our humanness when we stop working. And some of you guys know this experientially. You know, when you're not working for a long time, you lose some vitality, energy. You get kind of restless. Life feels a little empty. Sometimes you feel like you're just shriveling up inside because you're not working. And you know, I often hear old people say that they don't want to stop working or they're going to die. And there's something to that. I've often seen people, probably you have too, where right after they retire or they stop working, they just rapidly decline. You know, it's really interesting to think of retirement through biblical lenses. We're taught to think that retirement is the goal in life. It's the golden era of our lives where we don't have to work anymore. You know, the glorious dream is a life without work. So as we work, as many of us work, we long for those days up ahead when we're retiring, when we're retired and we're just vacationing and golfing and eating and drinking and just enjoying an open schedule where you don't have to do anything. And so we're longing for those things. Now, I'm not saying that people who retire are in sin. And I'm not saying stop putting money into your retirement funds. But I want us to at least to reconsider this. Let's reconsider the belief that a life without work is the good life. Or that life without work is the goal of life. I remember one guy who was in a pyramid scheme, and he was trying to get me to join his company in this pyramid scheme, and his selling point was this. You know, if you join in on this, by the time you're 40 or 45 or something like that, you won't have to work for the rest of your life. And instead of working, you can spend that time with your family. And initially when we hear that, that actually sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It even sounds noble. Oh, spend more time with my family. It sounds good. But you know what it does? It treats work like a curse. It treats work like a necessary evil, something that is to be avoided if possible. But the Bible says that man was made to work. Therefore, we need work. And that it was never meant to be a curse. Now, the fall did place a curse upon work by making it heavy and difficult. And some of us, we get that. But it doesn't change the fact that man was made for work. And we need to work. We actually put a double curse on ourselves when we stop working. Better to work, even though it's hard and not very fulfilling, than to stop working altogether. I like what one person said. We don't merely need the money from work to survive. We need the work itself to survive. Another point I'd like to make here about work is that all work is good. All work is a blessing. It's part of the gift of imaging God. We get to image God by working in all its various forms. And we see God in the creation account. He's working by ordering and creating and ruling. Now, I want us to consider first the first man, Adam. What was his work? He was a gardener. He wasn't made and then became a CEO right away. He wasn't engineering high-powered rockets or anything of that sort. He was a gardener, but that work was good. And it had dignity simply because it was work. And then there's Jesus, our Lord. And he came to earth and his job was actually working with his hands. Some of you know, he was a carpenter. And he worked as a carpenter in a small town for probably somewhere between 15 to 20 years. And it doesn't sound too glorious, and yet it was a part of his full and perfect life. Today, we actually value work according to pay and prestige, and not for the work itself. You know, it's tragic because what we do is we end up ranking work and undervaluing some kinds of work while overvaluing others. And so people no longer work for the work itself, but for the money or for the respect or for something else. And it's simply a means to an end. You know, someone once said that kind of working, it's actually a form of prostitution. Because with prostitution, there's no value in the work itself, but only in the fact that you get money from the work. So, for instance, if you are a lawyer working simply because the money is good and not because you care about justice, then you're a kind of prostitute. You're a lawyer prostitute. Or if you're a teacher and you just teach just because it generates an income and not to educate the next generation, then you are a form of prostitute. You're a teacher prostitute. The Bible teaches that any and all work is good and meaningful. All kinds of work matter. We don't work for money, and we don't work for respect. We work for the work itself because God has given it intrinsic value on its own. Do you provide a service? Give the best service possible, whatever it is. And not because of the money that's involved, but to serve others and to bless others. Do you sell goods? Sell excellent goods at a fair price. Do you contribute to a bigger organization or entity? Make your contribution count. Be faithful. Be trustworthy. And this is a word for the parents in this room. We need to liberate our children from the worldly values of work or that have been attached to work. Don't enslave them. Let's make sure of this, that our children know the value of all work and that they work hard. And if possible, that they work according to their gifts and their passions. Let's do that instead of pressuring our kids to get into a field of work simply because of the money that's attached to it or the prestige that is attached to it. You know, it's better for our kid to be a happy and excellent ditch digger than to be a CEO who's working simply for himself, for the paycheck, and for the prestige. And I also want to speak to those who don't have traditional jobs. You know, there's some of you guys, you're in school. A lot of the little ones, you guys are in school, aren't you? What's your work? Maybe you might say, I don't work. My parents work. I don't know. School is your work. Studying, doing your homework, that's work, and God's calling you to that. For those of you who are in college, what is your work? Your work is being a student and being the best student you can. Maybe some of you guys are in between jobs. What's my work, Pastor Andy? Your work is finding work. So from 9 to 5, you're working on finding work, and that's your work, okay? And preparing and equipping yourself for various jobs. And obviously, there's some stay-at-home moms in this room. Managing your household, raising your family, that's work. I've often heard that the value of the work of a stay-at-home mom is somewhere in the 6 figures. And I totally believe that. And that's your work. So let's not just think work, you know, I'm only working if I'm in an office or if I'm older. We all have some kind of work. Now, I want to emphasize this too. Work 6 days. That's what the Bible says. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Now, we have it good that our culture has set a 5-day work week, although I'm fully aware that some of you work more than 5 days, and there's probably people around you who actually work 7 days a week. But let's take the six-day work week to heart. This is what the Bible says. Let's commit ourselves to working 6 days. And, you know, if the 6th day is open for you, and you know what, you don't have to serve your boss, well, hey, serve someone else on that day. Serve your children. Go to Legoland. That's work, isn't it? Parents, you know, going to Legoland's work. Serve your children. Serve your family. Serve your spouse. Take that 6th day, strengthen relationships. Take that 6th day, volunteer. In some capacity, serve at church, volunteer in some capacity at church. You know, do the repairs at home, but make that 6 day productive and serve in some capacity. Work 6 days. And I think with this call to work 6 days, there's just a call to work and to work hard. You know, on the one hand, the fourth commandment, you know, keeping the Sabbath, on the one hand, it's a call to rest 1 day, but sometimes we forget it's also a call on the other side to work and to labor 6 days, right? And this is a word that speaks to some of us lazy people. You know, we need to hear this, that we all need to be working in some way. And if you are working, to work hard, to work with excellence and with integrity. And just the last thought before I move on to rest. You know what? I think sometimes we struggle to rest on the Sabbath because we aren't working really hard those 5 or 6 days. Like each day, we're doing like half days really, or we're doing 3/4 of a day each day. And what ends up happening is we have this leftover work that we need to do on the Sabbath day. And then there's all this pressure on us now not to rest on the Sabbath, right, but to work. And so what I want to say is what helps you to rest on the Sabbath is if you're working your tail off the 6 days. And that each day is a full work day. I think we'll all be surprised if we gave ourselves to work real hard for 6 days, the pressure's off to be working on the Sabbath. Now, I realize that there are those who are on the other side of the spectrum, those who are workaholics or those who can't stop working. For some of you, your problem, it's not laziness. Your problem is that you can't stop working. You don't know when to shut it off. You're sending emails out late at night. You know, you're on the phone while the family's eating dinner, that kind of thing. You come home from church and you're already starting to prep for your work week and for Monday. And for those of you who are in that boat, you need to hear God's loving call to you to rest, to rest. God rested on the seventh day from all of his work. That's what we read. Now, it wasn't as if God was exhausted after his work of creation, and somehow he desperately needed a breather. We know that it was effortless for God to create the universe. In fact, we hear that he spoke the world into existence. So with ease, God created the world. God didn't need to rest. And Jesus says in John 5 that as the Jews were questioning him about the Sabbath, and I believe it was on the Sabbath, Jesus says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." He was saying, God is always working. Now, if God doesn't need rest, then what's going on in Genesis 1 and 2? God, he expresses his work of creation in this way in Genesis 1 and 2, primarily to set a pattern for how we are to live. He built man to live according to a specific rhythm, working 6 days, resting on the seventh. It's interesting to think about the concept of a seven-day week. When you think about days, months, and years, those are all determined by the earth, the moon, and the sun, right? The day is determined by the rotation of the earth, the month by the moon, and the year by the earth's rotation around the sun. Hopefully I got that right. But where did we come up with the seven-day week? Have you ever thought about that? Why not have a week be 10 days? Why not a month consist of 3 10-day weeks instead of 4 7-day weeks? The week is the only unit of time that is not determined by nature. We find the origin here. Man was built from the very beginning to live according to the seven-day pattern established by God. And in the Hebrew, the word seven and the word week is actually the same word. So God, he sets a pattern for balance, a pattern of balance for us, work and rest. And the Sabbath was put in place to ensure that we rest. And so we need work to live. That's one of the biblical teachings. We need work to live. It's inside of us. We also need rest to live too. We need both. What does it mean to rest? You know, there's two aspects. There's the physical and the spiritual. I first want to talk about the physical aspect of rest. What is God talking about when he says rest? Well, it's physical rest. And what God means there is refrain from work. Slow down. Take a breather. Clear your calendar. Breathe. And stop with all the running around. And stop with all the regular activity in your life. And that's not just work at the office, but kids' activities, running errands, taking care of this and that. We've turned Sunday into another Saturday, haven't we? We've turned Sunday into another Monday. And so we all must be very careful here and hear that call. And I would say this, look, if you give yourself an inch, your flesh is going to take a mile. I can almost guarantee it. We really have to protect the Sabbath. And it's a challenging word for us, because even as we hear it, it sounds kind of strange. Maybe a little too rigid. Maybe a little too unrealistic. It's a challenging word, isn't it, for all of us? This is definitely a word for LA people. For a lot of us, isn't it true? We're all living at a frenetic pace. We're running on this treadmill that is not stopping. And life is just crazy. A lot of us are exhausted. A lot of us are just stumbling through each week. And we want to stop with all the craziness, and yet we don't want to stop. Because I think if we fear that we stop, we're gonna lose out. We're going to miss out. We're going to be left behind in one way or another. And over time, I think we've replaced God's wisdom with man's. You know, God says, work 6 days, rest on the Sabbath, and we've replaced it. We say, no, that's okay, that's one suggestion. But how about this? Let's work 7 days a week for 3 months, and then take a long vacation, and then let's do that again. And we do that cycle over and over, and yet we wonder why, man, I'm still so exhausted after that vacation. What is the pattern of your life? What is the pattern that you have set for your family? And can we say that it's distinctly Christian? Or is our rhythm no different than our neighbor down the street? I think one reason why we've kind of gotten rid of the physical aspect of the Sabbath is because we've over-spiritualized things. And so the spiritual has kind of swallowed up the physical. And this is what I mean. We say, okay, I've done my Sunday worship. I've done my duty. Now I have the rest of the day. And I can do whatever I want. Or now I can do this, that, and the other thing. And so we say, okay, I did the Sunday worship, so I've done the Sabbath observance. So, hey, the rest of the day is open up for me. And so we've over-spiritualized the Sabbath. And we've lost the physical aspect. But God knows us best because he made us. And God made us body and spirit. And he knows we need also the physical rest. We need both the physical and spiritual rest to live as human beings. I think restfulness is a Christian trait. And I think it's one of those things that separates us from the world. I think it's one of those things that measures our maturity. You know, every time I meet a really mature Christian, I see a restfulness in them. They're relaxed. They're not like rushing to the next thing. You know, they're not restless. They're very calm. I think that's a Christian trait, restfulness. And that comes by living out that rhythm that God has created for us. And not only is it a measure of maturity, that restfulness, I think that's one of the distinct ways in which we witness to this world. This world is a restless world. This world is running with its head cut off. And if anyone finds you to be restful, it's kind of striking and strange, kind of wonderfully strange, actually. And honestly, this is one of the ways we can convey Christ to people. That in the midst of craziness, we can be a restful person. And how wonderful it would be if there was a day where someone said to us, man, there's something different about you. You're just so relaxed. Well, everyone's running to the next thing. Let me also talk about spiritual rest, and I'm coming to a close here. In Exodus 20, that's the Ten Commandments, God says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And he says this is the reason why, because God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And so the Sabbath was based on God's pattern of creation. So naturally, the Sabbath, it was to remind people about God, but more specifically that God is the creator. That's kind of what the Sabbath was to do to them. Why am I resting on the Sabbath? Oh yeah, that's right, because God is the creator. He created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. It was to remind them of those things. But you know what's interesting is Deuteronomy 5 also has the Ten Commandments. Some of those younger kids know that we talked about that in class, didn't we? Deuteronomy 5. And we hear the fourth commandment again, but it's interesting what is said there. Observe the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And here's the reason. You would think you would go back to creation, right? Because don't you remember God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh? But this is what he says. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day also functioned in two other ways. It was to protect themselves, the Israelites, and to protect others from turning work into slavery. That your male and female servant may rest as well as you. Because you have a tendency to turn work into slavery. And here's something else you need to remember, that you were once a slave and your life was miserable. And God had redeemed you out of that. And so let the Sabbath make you think about two things. That you are not to enter into a slavery from your work. It's to protect you, right? And you're also to remember your redemption. Your redemption. You know, God, he knows the dangers of work. Since we need to work, that's built in us, we can work and we can actually work a lot. We have a high capacity to work. Some of you work beyond the standard 40-hour work week and you're still very functional. But work can be a slippery slope into slavery. A lot of idols are directly related to work. Money, image, security, respect, all those kinds of things. Materialism. And we can even idolize the work itself, where we just get engrossed in what we do. And so work is life and life is work. And we're always in danger of putting our worth and our value in our work. I am what I do. Like, who am I? I'm a pastor. Like, that's the first thing that enters my mind. For some of you, maybe it's like that. I am what I do. And we'll work ourselves to death to validate our existence. The Sabbath, it serves to liberate you from the slavery of work and to protect you from the slavery of work. You know, consider this struggle. Man, I got to work on Sundays to make more money to take care of my family. And what the Sabbath says to you is, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you know what? He has the power to take care of you and to take care of your family. God takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and they are not even made in his image. He will surely take care of you. Take a break. Relax. Rest. Do you realize that your God is the creator of the heavens and the earth? He is your great help. You know, consider this struggle. Man, I am what I do, and if I remain a lowly assistant, I'm nothing. But you know what? If I make it to supervisor, man, people are going to respect me. So you know what? I got to do everything I can to work my way up. And what the Sabbath says to us is that God created you in his image and that you are of great worth. And in fact, he died for you and redeemed you and took you out of darkness and out of the slavery of sin. You are not nothing. You are a son of God, made in the image of God, redeemed by God, loved by God. What the Sabbath does, it gives us a shot of sanity and reminds you that your worth is not based on your work. And to be liberated from the slavery of our work. And so to rest in the Sabbath is to rest in who God is and what he has done for you. And when we understand that, what it does is it has the power to clean out all those idols that we attach to work. And when all those idols of money and security and image, when they're all removed, you know what? Work is just work. Your validation is not hanging in the balance with your work anymore. Work is just work. It's good, but it's not everything. And you stop worshiping your work. And you start worshiping rightly God. I like what one person said. You will not have a meaningful life without work, but you cannot say that your work is the meaning of your life. And as I close here, you know, anytime Sunday rolls around, we're observing the Sabbath, I think it's good to be asking blunt questions like, why in the world am I going to church instead of watching the big game? Why? Why am I going to church instead of going to Sunday brunch where I can drink unlimited mimosas? Why am I going to church instead of walking my dog and checking out the farmer's market? Why in the world am I going to church instead of running errands at Target where I can prepare for the rest of the week? Why in the world am I doing this? Why am I driving to church? And for that, we got to go back to the Word. Why? Because God's the creator. And he created in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And that's the pattern. And can you remember that your God is the creator of the universe? And that you're going to church because God had redeemed you. He loved you and he died for you. And he rescued you and he redeemed you. And that's your God. That's why I'm going to church. That's why I'm resting physically and spiritually. Because God is the creator and he's the redeemer. And brothers and sisters, that's what we got to rest in on the Sabbath day. To rest in those sweet truths. To rest in who our God is. And I hope as we do that, work is put in its proper place. It is good, but it is not everything. And so I hope and pray through the Spirit that we can have that wonderful godly rhythm of working and resting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that out of your abundance and out of your love, you made us. And you have set for us a beautiful, wise, godly pattern to live. And we confess and we repent that we have not conformed to that pattern. And we've tasted the bad fruit of that. Life is frustrating. It's so busy. We're so exhausted. We always feel like we're at the end of our rope. Oh God, let us now come back to your wisdom. And Lord, that as we rest too, oh Lord, that we would rest in who you are and what you've done. Lord, there's some of us here. We need to be liberated from the slavery of work. Do that in us. Lord, some of us, we're too lazy. We need to be working. Oh Lord, won't you help us out of our laziness? And God, Lord, we want to pray that you would get the glory in our lives. And we pray that we can do that as we follow your work-rest pattern. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.